Are you talking to me? Are you talking to me? Ben Vanel? I only see one other person in the room.
And I assume that you're talking to me. Adam Knox, the other person in this room.
Welcome to Are You Talking to Me, a Game of Thrones podcast. My name's Ben, that's Adam. And this is the start of the show. People have commented on how it's great that we have no set intro to the show.
Great.
Yeah.
Would great be the word?
Maybe charming in
grating.
A sort of... I think it's grating. I'd love to be able to think of a real intro. But
what's up, Game of Thrones fans?
I know it's sports fans,
yeah. But that's like a bit too mid-2000s.
Welcome to the Throne Zone.
Oh, fuck. All right. Nah, it's good that we don't have one.
Yeah. We just flop around like a little fish on the on the beach. Yeah, so this episode, going to be a lot more flopping because I didn't particularly think, what's it called?
Season 2, Episode 7, A Man Without Honor.
Yes, an episode without interesting events.
There were two scenes that I really liked.
Yes, yeah.
And I fell asleep towards the end of the episode and went, ah, fuck, and had to rewatch it.
I noticed in writing the recap up in a more condensed way that there was a scene that I just zoned out of and forgot.
Yeah.
but yeah, there were, I was thinking as I was watching it, not much interesting has happened until, yeah, like one scene. But let's just crank through it.
The two that I like, I reckon they might be different if you're saying basic. Well, I don't know. We'll go through.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Because we start with Theon waking up to an empty bed that Osha has crawled out of to steal away Bran and Rickon and kind of Hodor, but he could have gone down on his own.
Yeah.
They've all gone.
Yep. Theon kind of walks into the, you know, the courtyard or whatever, and everyone's like, oh, shit. And I guess he's kind of going to the guards like, what, are you stupid? How did you let this happen?
This cripple boy got away, and he's like, yeah, so did that woman you were fucking.
Yes.
And then he kicks the shit out of him.
Yep.
In a Theon-y way where he's like, ow.
Yeah.
My hand.
He sucker punches him, so like he's not, it's not an honorable act.
Oh, fuck no.
And then,
none
yeah,
of it is.
Kicks him when he's down.
And there's office guy standing behind him the whole time. Like, this dude is really representing, like, I mean, A, he's sort of driving Theon a little bit, but also feels like whenever Theon looks at him, it's the whole weight of these fucking lunatics who he's leading judging him.
Totally. Like, because the thing that the dude said, Finchie, was like, you have to gain the respect of these dudes. Mm. He's sort of the little devil on his shoulder.
And Theon, in this episode especially, is totally keeping on buying into this.
Yeah.
He's already bought into it, but he is really...
He's in debt now.
He's fucking ridiculous about it.
Yeah.
Later on, but Paul Kelly keeps trying to be like, yo,
yeah,
you grew up here. What the fuck's wrong with you? He's like, yeah, I did grow up here, and I never ran away, did I?
Yeah, that's right.
But then also, you never killed any, like, Ned never fucking threatened you as much as you did Bran and Rickon.
Yes,
so
yeah.
Of course he didn't.
Yeah.
Also, you're a little piece of shit.
Also that. So yeah, then we smash cut to the aforementioned escapees walking around some fields.
Yeah.
Having a great old time.
It does look quite nice.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
They're eating walnuts.
Yeah.
It's really weird. They're just regular old walnuts.
It's just like walnut trees are everywhere and Hodor is able to crush them in his hand and they're having a bit of a nibble.
Which isn't weird. I can crush walnuts in my hand.
I can crush it in my butthole.
I can crush them in your butthole.
Something for Talking Thrones, perhaps. they see a farmhouse in the distance. They're kind of like, we have to hide somewhere. Like, they've got hounds on our tail.
Bran is very level-headed about it. Like, they're hungry or whatever. But he's like, we couldn't go to the kitchen because if Theon found out we were there, he'd kill everyone there in trying to find out where we were. We can't go up to that farm because, same reason, Theon will kill everybody in the kitchen if we go to that farm.
Yes.
Bran's gotten, like, for a dumb little wall-climby boy, he's pretty smart.
Totally. He seemed to, because he was kind of a bit pissy at first, but Paul Kelly was clearly teaching him stuff and he seems to have taken it on board.
Very good teacher.
Yeah. So they kind of left not sure what to do at the end of that scene, I think. And then we smash cut to A lot of smash cuts, yeah. I have to say.
I think too many smash cuts in this episode. The fact that they played that little Batman between every scene, I think, was just a little bit weird.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember the director of this episode having a funny name, too.
Oh, yeah, it was like Duncan Nutter or something.
Nutter.
Yes.
It was Nutter.
It was Nutter.
There's been ads on lately for nut butter.
Right. And the episode's packed with walnuts. So it's kind of weird.
I was in a cardiologist's waiting room the other day.
Yes.
As a cardiologist who does x-rays?
No, that's a radiologist.
Radiologist.
Cardio is heart.
I got lost and I was in a cardiologist's. Yeah, I was in a radiologist's thing for a family member. She's the head radiologist.
That's right. And I was waiting there.
But I was watching Dr. Phil, which sucks.
Yes.
We should do a Dr. Phil podcast because that dude gives the most fucking blank advice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You're saying that you're angry because your husband's angry and you're both angry and that makes you all more angry, and the fucking sea of people go like,
anger.
Anyway, there was an ad for nut butter and I laughed in the radiologist's waiting room, and then someone looked over and then looked at the TV because I was looking at it and saw the nut butter thing and really seemed to go like, ugh.
This fucking millennial.
But nut butter is very funny.
Speaking of nut butter, John's nut butter is a gurgling away.
Yeah, Egret, they wake up after spooning.
Yes,
and Egret's like, "Did you whip out a knife during the night? What's what's that in your pocket there?
Yes,
is that a knife in your pocket, or are you just happy that you have a knife?"
And John's like, "Shut up, I don't have a knife. What are you talking about? Get off me."
Yeah, and she realizes like, oh, you're a stinky little virgin, aren't you?
Yeah.
I guess there. Maybe it's later when they're walking.
I think it's earlier. I think last episode, maybe she's suspect. But this episode, she really pushes the point.
Yeah, she definitely is full on calling him a little weedy virgin boy.
Yeah.
Exact words.
She started 8 times as well.
But they're still just wandering around looking pointlessly for John's friends.
Yes. But I actually liked, to the extent that I liked stuff in this episode, I liked these scenes. I like the dynamic. I think that it's well written. Like, her character seems smart. Mm. He seems dumb. And she's clearly, like, pinpointed the thing that she's going to try and take advantage of.
On top of, like, the fun little kind of sexual jibery between them, mm-hmm. there's also, like, her going, hey, you just built a fucking wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And then started calling us savages. We're all people up here.
Yeah.
We're just not dickhead people.
Totally,
And it's painting a bit more of a picture of these wildlings that we haven't. I mean, I guess we've seen Osha and stuff. But she's more like weird and mystical.
Osha?
Osha's behavior is incredibly different to Egret's.
Well, she was covered in rags. Like, they were portrayed differently, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, Egret is starting to maybe seduce him. Like, it seems pretty obvious, I guess.
John seems like a teenage boy out in the wilderness with a hot girl.
Totally.
And the other thing as well, I guess I should mention, is that the wildlings are all very different sets and types of people. So,
yeah.
Hence the different behavior.
Yes. True. True that.
True that. Speaking of different types of people.
Yes.
Well, anyway, we see Tywin in the mountain.
Yeah.
Talking about that dude who fell over Mr. Beanstalk right in front of him.
Yes.
And
Tywin's convinced that the assassin was there for him. He's just like, well, I'm clearly the best, so the assassin must have been coming for me.
Totally. And even, like, the rumor of an assassin being out for Tywin is dangerous to him. He's like, that makes me seem weak.
Yes, totally.
If they know he got right to the door, so fuck that shit.
That's it. And, like, we've panned in past, like, 20 lynched dudes.
Yeah.
Lannister dudes, it looks like. So they're just like, they're trying to get the information. And they're doing it in as brutal a way as possible, I guess, to appear powerful.
And the mountain in his weird voice.
Yes.
Is talking about how it might be the Brotherhood Without Borders.
Banners.
Banners.
Yes.
Which I
thinking
guess
of doctors without
thinking
borders.
Of Doctors Without Borders.
Yes. The Flying Brothers.
Very good radiologists helping out with people's hearts on those planes. I mean, cardiologist. But
the Brothers Without X-rays, yeah.
The Brothers Without Banners were the people who Peach Eaton guy was torturing people to find out where they were.
Yeah, right? Okay. And we know nothing about them. We know that they've helped some people or been helped by people, and the Tywin calls them rebels, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Harrenhal's a piece of shit.
Yes. The Tywin's like, figure this shit out. Go hang 100 people. I don't care. Figure it out. Then there's a big steaming, like, lamb feast on his table.
Yeah, that Arya's brought in, and he's like, is that mutton? She goes, it's something. It ain't mutton, but it is mutton.
He has her executed immediately.
Yeah, it takes forever. They go back and forth. Yes. She keeps, like, pulling her hat down and going, what do you mean? But he's like, you sit, you eat it.
Mm.
He probably likes mutton. He's just trying to get to know her.
Yeah.
Because he's figured some shit out of
her. He's twigged something. I think last episode or the one before, yeah. It's like, why do you know how to read? Why? Where are you actually from? He's starting to suspect something, I think. Yeah.
And this is one of the scenes that I liked.
Okay.
Arya. Like, I just like both of these characters. I like both of them interacting. They're both clever.
Right.
And there's like a little bit of tension there of like, I like that sort of these people both clearly know that they both kill each other if they have the chance, probably, or if they had to. They wouldn't think twice about it, but they respect each other in this weird way.
Sure. I think this is the scene where she actually like grabs her knife.
Yeah. She's definitely thinking about it because he's standing looking out the window with his back to her.
That's
being
right.
Like, there used to be dragons here, but, well, not anymore. And she's holding a big old lamb knife.
I wasn't really a fan of this scene. I think I'm not as big a fan of Arya as a character.
Right.
And I do like Tywin a lot, but I think it was a bit obvious. Like, all of it was a bit obvious.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's meant to be. Like, we're meant to know that Tywin knows something's up and Arya is being bad at being sneaky, but I just wasn't as big a fan of it as maybe I could have been.
I think Arya is definitely still a little bit, like, petulant and arrogant.
Sure.
'Cause she was when she was not in a fucked situation.
Right.
And I think she's still kind of being that and being a little bit too cavalier and thinking she's invincible.
Yes.
But also she's that bravado is endearing.
Yes. I think this is the scene right where it must be, I think, where she says my lord and he says my lord. And she is, you're right. She's a little bit of a jerk about it. Like she's a little bit like, I'm going to say my lord because, she kind of thinks that maybe she's smarter than him.
Yeah.
So that's that.
I just like both those characters and like them interacting.
Yeah.
Two characters who I don't really like and definitely don't like each other. Sansa, thanks to Hound in this hallway.
Yes.
Just walking past. And he's really fucking weird about it.
He really is. Yeah. I reckon this is the scene that my impressions of him were based on. Because like, remember I said like I always thought of him as this creepy dude. Mm. And forgot all the stuff early on where he was trying to stick up for people. I think this is the scene because he's just like,
I love to kill.
Yes.
You don't need to thank me because I fucking loved killing him.
That's it.
I'm a creepy little boy who's going to stop Joffrey from fucking having a go at you when you're older, but I'm going to kind of love it.
It's something like that.
It's real weird.
It's really weird. He says Ned would have loved killing as well. Like he makes a point of like, people kill because they enjoy killing. Maybe he says stuff about hate as well in this scene. I can't remember, but he basically, makes a point to be this intimidating, creepy guy to her.
Yeah.
It's not entirely clear why.
It does seem like just a shift in how he's even treated her as well.
Yeah, yes.
But anyway.
Yep.
There's a shift over to another continent now.
Yes.
Daenerys is there worried about her dragons because her dragons are gone.
Yes.
Where are my dragons? Where are my dragons? Is what you've written here.
Yes.
And then Zambrero's Xbox One X is really still trying to be like, well, we'll find them. Since we're going to get married, huh? She's like, it is not the fucking time, you dumbass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're one of these 13 rich cunts.
Yes,
I bet
yes.
you have something to do with it, you little dick.
Yeah. And this is when he like pulls out the key to the vault and he's like, look, the dragons are valuable, but why would I steal them? Like, I could take half of what's in my vault.
His vault that she's never seen in.
Yes, yes.
As well, like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. It's, I think...
The guy with a vault full of money who loves his vault full of money wouldn't want more money.
Right. I don't know if I... Because by the end of this episode, and anyone listening will have seen this episode, we know what happens here. He's betrayed her.
In a very confused plot that I didn't understand.
Yep. I think that this scene, I wasn't suspicious, I don't think. I think it was done well enough.
I think I just thought that he was a little, just still a slimy little creep trying to get in her pants.
Yeah,
but
right.
Like her political pants.
Yes. Yes.
All my pants are political, by the way.
Well, she's got a left leg and a right leg, so that's definitely political.
Man, I'm all about that centrist leg.
Okay. You just drop it out the fly.
Yep, I'm a labiatarian.
Okay, that's not bad.
It's the best I could do.
In my opinion, all politicians are dicks.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. Now, so yeah, that's basically all that scene is. He's saying,
I'm not a libertarian.
Good.
I'm a labiatarian.
Yeah, the pretty short scene. Let us move on.
Just reminding us that our dragons have been taken, basically.
Yeah. What's next? Back up north of the wall.
North.
Yeah, this is, I think, the scene where she basically is questioning him being in the watch. It's like, why have you taken an oath to never have sex with anyone? Why would you do that? Doesn't that seem pretty restrictive and weird? Mm. And he's like, yeah, but it's honorable and, you know, good, and I'm doing it for a reason. And
I think he doesn't even have that much to back it up with.
No, because, like, he regretted joining the watch almost immediately.
He's just kind of like, yeah, but fuck off.
Basically, yes.
And she's like, how about we fuck on?
Yeah, I'll show you how.
Root. You want to learn how to root? And he's like, oh.
I know where it goes. I know how to do it.
He says basically exactly that.
Yeah.
And then she says that he doesn't know anything. Her famous what will become a famous catchphrase I'm willing to reveal.
Yes.
You don't know jack shit, Johnny.
You're a dumbass.
Whoa, John. You're way off, mate.
That's it. Come on, John. You don't know nothing.
Come on, John. Johnny. Hey,
John.
Slow on down, because you'll make yourself look like a right tosspot, you are.
Yeah, you know nothing, Jon Snow.
Not splitting apples and pears. Rob's camp. We go over to with like a big old shot of all the tents and the little Stark theme plays.
Yes.
And like,
this scene is really intense.
All right. Okay. Guess I got to quit this podcast. Yeah, it was like weirdly sweeping, and I don't know why it was such a long establishing shot.
Yeah.
It was kind of, it stuck out a bit to me, but it wasn't that big of a deal. And Lannister boy is back telling Rob about how Cersei tore up that agreement that he knew she would tear up.
Yep.
He's very nervous to tell him to. They're going to lock him back up because he's a Lannister boy, so they can't really trust him.
Mm-hmm.
But all the prisons are bloody full.
Yeah, and Roose Bolton's like, well, maybe you could do something to empty those prisons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, flay everyone.
Do a raffle, and whoever wins the raffle gets out.
Yeah.
A fun little nice thing.
Yeah.
But no, it is very heavily implied. And he hangs around after he's meant to have left, just kind of still staring at Rob going like, kill some of the prisoners.
Yes.
How about you kill a few of them?
Yes. Which also because the nurse lady, Talisa, is there.
Mm.
And I'm not sure if, Roose kind of sees that.
Yeah.
He sees Rob's going to talk to this girl.
Well, because he was there when they first met.
Yeah,
and he heard the dink of penis against the armor.
Yeah. Rob and John have more in common than than we might have thought. Yes. So after the whole prisoner thing, they decide to chuck Alton in with Jamie for now.
Yeah.
Because there's literally no cages.
And so they, he's on his way to somebody to, like, one of the Lannister bannermen or something to accept their surrender.
Yeah, he's going to the Crag, which is, the home of, I forget what they're called, starts with a W, but yeah, it's just one of the families loyal to the Lannisters.
Yeah, and they're going to surrender. Rob's going down there to accept it, and he's like, why don't you come along to have a look in the maester's storeroom for medical stuff that you need?
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
Yeah. See if they've got any condoms.
Yeah. I was at the beach the other day, by the way, and I had...
How is this going to be connected to that sentence?
Kelp for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Very strong natural material.
Yes. So sort of rubbery.
Kind of rubbery.
Yeah.
And if you needed to make, like, I mean, it wouldn't be good for a condom, but if you needed to tie something together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was just, because I was thinking, what would they make condoms out of in Game of Thrones?
Right.
But I think they don't.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Doesn't seem like there's any...
They're all Catholic.
Yeah.
You never felt kelp before?
I've never bothered to grab it. I've seen it, but I never picked it up.
Right, yeah, it's weird.
It's super fucking weird.
Mm.
It feels like... rubber. Yeah, I guess we've already covered it, but it does feel like rubber.
We're kind of circling back around.
But you can make, I could see how you could fucking make a raft and get to other continents.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Yeah, yes. Sunday.
You surf on the kelp.
Yes.
Or on the back of a dolphin.
Well, you tie your legs to the dolphin with kelp.
Yeah. And then, like, the wiser, older member of the group is surfing a turtle.
Ah, very good.
And the fat guy surfs the smallest dolphin. So Theon's at that farmhouse that the kids were at before.
Yes.
And Paul Kelly's like, he's like, they're kind of ransacking it.
Yes, yeah.
There's someone like, get inside, kids.
There's like a whole bunch of them as well. They're all surrounding the place, just like lifting up, you know.
Hay bales.
Hay bales, yeah, exactly.
You under here? And Paul Kelly's like, all right, seriously, this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand this at all.
Okay. Is it because you fell asleep?
No.
All right.
Thingo from The Office.
Finchy.
He finds walnut shells.
Yes.
And is like, hey, this must have been them.
Right, because how do they know that they've been eating walnuts?
Everyone eats. There's walnut. If they found these walnuts, everyone must find walnuts.
Right. Unless they followed a direct trail of walnuts from Winterfell to this barn. Yeah. Constant walnuts everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watchers of the walnuts.
Very good.
But I didn't understand why the walnuts were a giveaway. Maybe because Hodor crushed them? You could crush them with a hammer.
That's a good point. It's not a giveaway.
I think that Finchy is a shit detective who got lucky. I've got ball nuts. Speaking of walnuts, by the way. But I don't understand why the walnuts were such a giveaway to him. But then it kind of ramps up from there, right?
Yeah.
Because they drag that dude out of his house.
Yes, the shepherd, yes. And they start questioning him and he says he doesn't know anything, he hasn't seen anyone.
He does look shifty too. He looks like he's not telling the truth.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yep.
Which is more of a giveaway than the fucking walnuts.
Yes.
I don't understand why they had to have the walnuts here.
Yeah, no, that's like they see the walnuts and then they're like, well, we'll definitely question the guy now.
Yeah. Well, this farm is in the direct path they would have come. But
the walnuts
better not
have
question
really...
him until, wait a minute, is that a commonly available food in this region? I know I'm the only person who could have been eating that.
Yes.
This farmer hates walnuts. I happen to know. So they send Paul Kelly home.
Yeah, he's like, no, what the fuck? Oh, man, don't do anything stupid.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they send him home.
So Daenerys, being a long way from home.
Yes.
Still in the same place she was moments ago.
Going a bit nuts.
Oh, feeling like there's a wall between her and Jorah.
Well, I don't understand that.
That she is building because she kind of wants him to. She snaps him a bit and she's like, you are getting fucking fresh with me, buddy.
Yeah, I think he like touches her on the shoulder after she's been talking about how she can't trust anyone.
And he's like, well, you're too young to be worried about that. And she's like, you're too familiar.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes. Yeah. And he's like, you can trust me. And she's like, what? Mm. Well, are you engineering this situation so that I only trust you? Like, that's pretty fucked up. Mm. And he's like, no.
Because he was off to get a boat and he's come back to help
yes,
her.
Yes.
But I mean, I trust Jorah, but I think he's just like a little weird with Daenerys.
Yeah, he's clearly in love with her and she's never done anything to reciprocate that.
If anything, she's been very clear that she reciprocates it.
Yes.
I don't know if that's the word. I've never had to use it before.
she's still in love with Drogo. Like, she's kind of made that clear as well.
Well, I think she's transitioning more and more into being married to the job kind of a person.
Sure.
Know?
Yep.
But, and Jorah's way older than her and that's her fucking, like, work colleague.
Totally. It's always implied that she's younger than the actress is as well. So it's pretty creepy.
But he gets sent off to find out who took her dragon. So basically she's like, don't try to fuck me, go find my dragons. And he's like, okay.
And after, okay, yes.
Can we maybe swap them? How about I try to find a way to fuck you?
And you
don't fuck your dragons.
Yeah, yes. Just don't fuck the dragons.
I don't want to fuck your dragons, Khaleesi. I haven't done the voice in a while. Anyway, whatever. John and Ygritte's still fucking wandering around. She's still going like, eh, you've never got a boner.
Yeah.
Well, she has gotten a boner. And she's like, don't your balls explode? Or have I been lied to?
Yes. Yeah. Aren't you going to overflow with nut butter? Like,
it's so fucking funny.
It's great.
That they call the product nut butter.
It's insane. It's beautiful.
Peanut butter's never made me laugh.
No.
But just nut butter? General nut? I think it's... Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. It's the sound of it. Nut butter is nut funny butter. As well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
He ain't looking to spill any of that nut butter.
But she kind of gets closer and closer to him and she's...
And he's like, looking tempted at points. He's like, maybe I am a teenage boy.
And maybe I did make the wrong vow and maybe these people are freer than I am. Yeah. She's really she's trying to manipulate him on every level, totally. Basically. Yeah.
Maybe the vow I should have made is I want to get my fuck on every day.
Yes.
I want to live that nut butter lifestyle.
Yes.
But she gets up close to him and he's like, no, wait, this is a trick. Grabs her a sword and she trips him the fuck over.
Yeah, just grabs the rope off him and runs away.
So this bit is weird because it looks like they run about 20 meters.
Yeah.
And then a group of people stand up who've been watching the entire time.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think it must be that in an earlier cut it was implied they'd run for longer.
Sure.
It has to be surely, well, right?
I guess like they have just been wandering around for ages. So I assume they're just off in the middle of nowhere and she's gone, oh, okay, I know where I am now.
Right, and she just needed to get away from him before they could make a move in case he got her in a neck hold.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like the headlock. Hostage hold.
Oh, sure. Yeah, the hostage hold, yes. But yeah, she just runs, jumps over a hillock, and then there's like 30 guys there with bows and arrows and stuff.
And John is in trouble.
He certainly is.
And she's like, bet you wish you could have fucked me now.
Yes, yeah. I like this character, Ygritte. I think she's good. She's like very, I don't know, like cheeky and charismatic and makes a lot of good points.
Yeah, like the antithesis of what we've been told all of the wildlings are.
Mm.
She is this smart, capable woman who, has red hair.
That's right.
I didn't expect any of them to have red hair.
No.
Sansa, also a redhead, and also got a red bed.
Very good.
She has gotten a period and she's terrified by it because that means Joffrey's going to try and put a baby in her now.
Yep.
And she, for some reason, doesn't want that.
I'm not entirely sure why. No.
Her and Shay try to hide it up, but the Hound fucking wrecks the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, this other handmaiden sees it and runs off, and then Shay like pulls a knife on her.
Yeah.
It's like, you're gonna shut the fuck up, right?
Which for someone who is meant to, hey, when we get to King's Landing, says Tyrion, keep your head down.
Yes.
Don't do anything. She's like, how about I become handmaiden to the queen and then threaten another handmaiden?
Mm.
Is that keeping my head down?
Mm.
So that's...
Well, she wants to run crime in the city, it feels like.
But she's trying to help out Sansa. It just doesn't work out because the Hound walks in and fucks it all.
Yep.
And then her and Cersei have a chat about blossoming.
Yes.
Or flowering.
Yeah, yeah.
She says, and I really like this scene as well.
This was a good scene. It wasn't the one that I really, really liked.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was good. I thought... maybe just because I don't like Cersei, but it revealed some of her humanity, revealed that she is aware that Joffrey is a fucking monster, sort of gives Sansa some advice on how to navigate through it.
And as we've kind of seen already, but she is entirely driven by her children.
Yeah, she just says it outright in this scene, yeah.
She's like, don't love anybody ever.
Yeah,
except
because that
kids.
That is weakness.
Yeah.
That
love
means
is
people,
weakness.
Yeah.
Her just directly saying that is like, oh yeah, okay, so you've read your character bio
yes.
instead of the script by mistake.
Yeah, she also expresses, I think, oh no, this is a later scene, but it's in this episode. We'll talk about it then. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty good scene.
Yeah, I liked it too. I thought it was well acted by both of them. And I like, yeah, Cersei is a very interesting character.
Yeah, yes.
Jaime and Alton, which is the name of the
cousin Lannister, who had to give the news.
They're having a little bit of a cage talk, just boys talk in a cage.
Yeah, just a classic cage time.
Man, we shouldn't have talked about the boys' cage, or else now the girls will know about our boys' cages.
A man cage, I believe it's called. There's a dartboard on the wall, a pool table in the corner.
Yeah,
a man tied up in the middle.
No women or escape allowed.
Yes, this is the scene that I liked. This was my favorite scene. I guess I liked some other ones, but this was what I thought was the legitimately great scene.
Definitely. Like everyone's seen the episode, the thing of Jamie trying to show this humanity to a level that we haven't really seen with him before.
Yep.
He's only been this kind of pretty Disney villain-esque.
Yeah, sure.
Two-dimensional kind of arrogant boy.
Yep.
And there's been a couple of moments with his dad and whatever where he's like this scared little boy.
Yes. Yeah.
But this is him seemingly showing a bit of himself.
Yeah, kind of stage by stage. Like, literally, it's as the guy moves closer, revealing some layers about himself. The fact that he does remember this guy. The guy squired for him when he was young, and he praises him. You know, he says nice things to him. And
he's like, when I was your age, I was scared. I didn't know what I was doing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And yeah, seemingly opening up his man cage and letting this guy in.
Yes.
And then beats the shit out of him so that he can get out of his cage.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fucking brutally beats his head in.
Really, like, absolutely brutally, in an emotional sense and in a physical sense, because he really has lured this guy in, made him open up as well, sort of in given him some hope, given him some respect that he'd never had before.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just gets his chains and smashes his skull in.
And the squishing noises and the twitching of the body on the ground afterwards is fucked.
Yeah.
And his plan here is like, whatever. It's so psychopathic that he lured him over with this chat when he could have just said, hey, come here.
Yeah.
Even if this was his fucked plan, he didn't need to get emotionally.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes, sure. It's almost like he's used it as a therapy session and then paid for it by smashing the guy's head in.
Yeah, pretty good deal. But
yeah, not bad.
The Karstark boy comes running in to try and get him, but Jamie chokes him and that he gets out.
Yeah.
He's got the keys on him and he fucks off. Never to be seen again.
Yeah, no, good for him.
Later on, they've recaptured Jamie.
Yes.
It's so quick as well.
I didn't remember this happening this way. I was like, oh, yeah, right, he must go and then they hunt him down. Like, no, it's just straight away.
Yeah.
Is it literally the next scene? Or
It's two scenes later, but
right.
It's ridiculous.
It is really, yeah.
His shitty plan. In between, Jorah talks to that Mortal Kombat lady again.
Yeah, we got an email about that. We actually got like four.
Yeah.
Just explaining. In the books, she was more of like a mystical, overarching sort of presence that had some prophecies and shit.
Right.
But this is the last time she appears in the show.
Yeah, because I didn't remember either of these.
Yeah.
And yeah, in the books, whatever, in this one, she is like a expensive tea cozy motherfucker.
Yeah, a bad exposition machine as well, really.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just, pulling this lever on the side of it and it shows up. Dumb helmet, stupid chains, more of a jingling sound when she walks than the thing seems to be moving to justify.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, I can't even remember what she says. She's just like,
You've got to take care of the dragons in Daenerys because it's important. Like, that's it. Like, that's really the content of the scene.
It's so unnecessary as well because we're already invested in that being important.
Yeah.
It's really silly. And she's given like some weird tattoo to this guy.
Yeah.
She's like, he's going to this weird city and he needs a tattoo to be safe.
Yes.
This place is a little bit freaky.
Yes.
It comes across mostly as that, as like, we need to make this place seem otherworldly.
Sure, a little bit of window dressing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they put the window dressing on her face.
Yes.
Daenerys, though, is talking to those 13.
Yep.
Fat boy, creepy wizard man, and Xbox docs.
Yep.
And it turns out the Xbox did it the whole time.
Yeah.
And he kills all the other ones.
Yeah.
But, well, the wizard boy kills them all with his multiple forms.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like,
just as a thing.
The wizard boy is really magic.
Yes, he is.
And he keeps showing up as they try to run out.
That's right, yeah.
Popping up in front of them, being like, oh, now I'm over here. And
like a little haunted house thing. Behind every corner, he's popping out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he just says, oh, I've got your dragons.
Yes. Yes.
And here's exactly where they are.
Come to the House of the Undying. That's where the dragons are. And you'll be with them forever.
Because the implication is they want the dragons. And they need her to raise them, though.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
For whatever reason, the dragons seem to be, need to, like, she's their literal mother, pretty
yes,
much.
And she says, and I think Xbox says, like, the dragons will die without her. Like, they just will. But it is understood that they need her to live.
Right. For whatever reason.
For some magical reason. For some dragon reason, I guess.
But yeah, everyone gets out really easily.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they don't care because they know she's coming for those dragons.
Totally. So. And they can't leave the city. Like, they are now in control. Yeah. Xbox is like, I'm the king of Karth now. So
95% of your crew here are dead.
Yeah.
We killed them last episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just her and Jorah running around.
So now Jamie, is back and pretty much everyone wants to kill him right there and then.
Yeah.
The captain's like, nah, we fucking need him. we kill him, they killed my girls.
Yep.
So he's alive. And Karstark is like, but he killed my boy.
Yeah.
And Catelyn's like, I don't give a fuck about any of you.
Yeah.
Is the impression that it gives across.
It's, you could argue accurately that she's saying, my daughters are more important than your son and the revenge for your son.
Yeah. It really came across as that to me. Like, she does not give a good reason. Like,
a good goddamn.
He has is clearly a danger to the immediate people here.
Yeah.
And she is refusing to kill him for kind of her own thing, because they're at war with the Lannisters already.
Sure.
How politically important can he be? Like, they're going to be more at war?
Yeah, right. And if they get him back, are they going to stop fighting? Probably not.
Nah.
Like, yeah.
Like, her only reason for not wanting Jaime to die is for Arya and Sansa, who Rob's men are giving less and less of a fuck about.
Sure.
Because they are no longer, like, the daughters of the their guy.
Mm-hmm.
They're the sisters of him, but, like, he doesn't seem to care about him anymore either.
No, no, no.
Or he's gotten it into his head, at least, that, like, I may have to sacrifice him.
Yes, he's implied that in previous episodes.
So,
they're all more about King of the North than they are about rescue the Stark girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, Catelyn, they all kind of go like, okay.
Right, then, which is impressive. Like, she still, like, clearly has some respect.
Oh, and, like, having Brienne standing behind her.
Sure.
Being like, there's a good bit where Catelyn's talking to Jaime at some point.
Yeah.
It's after this.
It's like, right, it's the next, yeah.
Well, yeah. So Tyrion and Cersei are talking battle plans. This is where I fell asleep.
Oh, this was a good scene as well. I forgot this scene.
I've watched it twice and I don't remember it both times.
She basically is opening up to him like, I'm worried that having done incest and had Joffrey is, like, you know, real bad. And Tyrion's like, yeah, but, like, you know, the Targaryens did incest for years. And she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And people used to say you'd flip a coin to see if one of the children was mad or sane.
Yeah.
And Tyrion's like, well, you know, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Because between this, the Sansa one and this one, she has made it very clear, like, oh, I get it now.
Yes.
Seeing Joffrey being king, he's a piece of shit.
Yes.
But he's still my son,
and
but he's a piece of shit son.
Totally. And Tyrion is like, yeah, Tommen seems nice. Marcella definitely was nice. I mean, if, you know, you got one bad one.
Don't let him be the king. Oh,
oh shit. Oh,
but yeah,
no.
It's, I don't know. I do remember, and it kind of seemed like she was opening up less, just more out of A, desperation, and B, like, you can't fucking do anything to me.
Right.
So I can say what I want
around
you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, sure.
It wasn't a touching moment or anything.
It wasn't like a moment between those two. It was a moment for her to just get it out on the table, I think. And he just doesn't comfort her. Like, he's like, this sucks, but I'm not comfortable doing that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
She has hated him forever.
Yes.
And I think he would have it within him to forgive her.
Right.
At some point, but it ain't yet.
And I don't think that she's, like, expressed any remorse. She's just kind of upset that one of her children is insane.
Yeah.
She hasn't personally had any sort of revelation about herself.
So in front of Catelyn and Brienne, Jaime as well is admitting his incest.
Yeah.
So, like, they've both kind of gotten to the point where, like, okay, everybody knows.
Yeah.
I guess we better say it. I fucked my brother.
Yeah.
And my sister.
And, yeah, Jaime's using it to taunt Catelyn. He's being like, I'm an honorable man, you know, like, I've only ever been with one woman. It's my sister, but, like, you know, old Netty boy, he fucked around on you. There's a bastard to prove that.
Yeah.
And she's getting angry.
She's mad. And he's like, what was that woman's name?
Yeah.
And she's like, Brienne. And he goes, no, not that. Fun little bit of gag there.
Yeah, a little bit of gaggery.
But he's deliberately pushing her buttons again. And she's like, Brienne, give me the sword. And he looks relieved.
Yes.
Last little scene here. Theon is back at Winterfell and he's like, everybody, I've got an announcement.
Yeah.
Here's my announcement. And he lifts up 2 burnt charred bodies. He was looking for 2 Stark boys.
Yep.
And there's 2 bodies.
2 little child bodies.
I couldn't tell that they were child bodies.
Right.
Because there
was very tuned into
the size of a child's body.
Well, burnt ones at least.
Okay. There was only a castle wall for scale.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand that scale.
Okay. I think there was a man nearby.
It's definitely implied that, yeah, but what? How they were off the ground, so how big is a man compared to the sky?
You need to get your eyes checked, all right? Your depth of perception is way off.
I went to the optometrist the other day.
That was a radiologist.
It was a cardiologist. but yeah, that's the end. And it's like, oh no, what's happened? And Paul Kelly's like, fuck.
Paul Kelly is just like, oh, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And he's an old guy.
He is an old man.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. That's the end.
A few good things happened.
Like really small little slices that would have been nice in scenes where something was actually happening.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But all the character development scenes in this were very character development-y. There was none of the sort of exposition or like the forward momentum mixed in with them that there normally is.
Sure, yeah. Often previously there's been like revelations about multiple characters within a scene while like, providing exposition, moving the plot along, or at least being like somehow visually dynamic and interesting. This was a lot of people sitting down talking to each other about their feelings.
Yeah. Which is fine, but it felt like a kind of a bottle episode or something.
Right.
Which possibly it was in terms of budget.
Yeah, sure.
And some stuff happens still, but like it's certainly a lot more like, let's get these actors looking at each other and talking.
Yes.
And not about the interesting intrigue that's going on.
Sure, which is a kind of, I guess, a season, an episode 7 sort of thing. Like sure. They're past the early developments. The about to ramp up to the finale of the season. So.
Yeah, because we got no Stannis in this one.
Yeah.
I guess he was the only one we really missed out on.
Yeah, right? I guess so, yeah.
There was probably somebody who we've been...
Gremman?
Ah, we haven't seen Gremman the whole series.
I know.
Gremman?
I keep waiting for Gremman to show up.
I guess Gendry is still knocking about in the castle somewhere.
Oh, sure. Yeah, okay.
But anyway, yeah, that was the episode. A mild episode, but not bad.
Yeah.
Just mild.
Yep. Just sleepy.
Speaking of moving the plot along, and you accidentally nearly said moving the pot along, let's move the pot along into some non-spoilery emails.
Let's do it. Josh emailed in, responded to your question, Knox.
Mm-hmm.
He says, he's doing well. Thanks for asking. So,
thanks for checking in, Josh.
Thanks, Josh. Sebastian emails in. He says, first time watcher of Game of Thrones. I tried a few times to get into it a couple of years ago, but it never stuck. Being a fan of Filthy, thank you very much. I figured it would be the perfect time to get into it. The final two episodes of season one got me hooked.
Yeah.
That's fair?
Yep. I think that was the same for me. I just kind of watched them all at once, though. So.
Yeah, sure. Yes. I think the end of the first episode got me interested, but yeah.
You've got 8 more episodes to really hook me in.
Yes. Hearing the reasons why you've enjoyed watching the show has made it more enjoyable for me, mainly because most of the characters are not enjoyable to watch and the ones that are good are either killed or seem dumb.
Good as in the opposite of evil.
Yes. Or are dumb and then get killed because of it. Keep up the great work, and watching Rob throw away his spectacular lead he has in the wall will be as infuriating as it is entertaining, I'm sure.
Yep.
Good observation, Sebastian.
Thanks, Sebastian. Yeah, Rob is like... I don't think he has good people around him.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Bruce Bolton seems like a shifty bitch.
Well, he likes to skin people alive, so that's not a mark in his favour.
And then Karr Stark seems like an idiot.
Yes.
Whatever happened to the guy who got his wolf finger bitten off?
Oh, Umber. Greyjoy Umber.
Yeah, where's he gone?
I don't know.
Maybe he died.
Maybe the actor?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, in a battle.
Right, okay.
The actor died in a battle.
Oh, wow. Good for him. Very respectable. Yes, no. Interesting observation from a first-time watcher. You'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
Yeah.
But I will say it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
From David. Hey, guys. Love the show, yada, yada, yada. He wrote that himself. Very good. If you had to choose, who would you rather tell bedtime stories to your children? Roose Bolton or Jorah Mormont?
Absolutely Jorah.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to freak my kids out.
Maybe Roose if it's like over a walkie-talkie and he's not in the same room as them.
Yes, and if they're grown-up kids, not if they're like little kidlets.
It's 100% Jorah. I think Jorah has a really cool voice because he doesn't speak how a human does.
Yeah, yes.
All his inflections are wrong.
Yep.
I've never heard a person speak the way that he does. It's as though he's on a stage.
Yes.
And nobody else has told him that there's cameras.
Right. Well, it's
and
like
he keeps thinking that they've got bad audience numbers every night.
It is. It's like he's in bad theater.
Yeah. But it works.
Yeah, it totally does. So I think someone has either tweeted or emailed or whatever to say that the actor who plays Jorah does read at least some audiobooks. Right. So that's cool. It makes sense.
Cool. All right. Well, then my kids one day will literally have him read a book to them to sleep.
Yeah, nice. And let's just do this one more from the non-spoiler from Andy. He says, "Hey, gents, love the show, blah, blah, blah." Again, wrote that himself, so they are learning. As you could put a call out for them, I'm going to have a go at one of each. A limerick first.
Did we put out a call out for limericks?
I think we just mentioned it. Yeah, okay. We must have been talking about these.
Sure. All right.
Do you want to read the limerick?
"There once was a dude called the Hound, whose helmet was dog-shaped, not round. Mm-hmm. He has pyrophobia, which makes him flee like a... He has pyrophobia, which makes him flee like a bitch, but next to his brother, his morals are sound."
Okay. You slightly off on the rhythm of a limerick, but...
Hey, that's a syncopated limerick.
That's right. That's it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a hip fucking math rock limerick.
Yeah, okay.
14-12 time.
Yeah, nice. I will read... the riddle. "Even in water, I never get wet. I can be moved, but no one has picked me up yet."
My ex-wife.
"When the night's at its darkest, I'm hardest to see. Unless I've crawled out of your belly as a murder baby."
Oh, a shadow.
Yeah.
If it weren't for the last one, I was thinking light. But it was the opposite.
The opposite, yeah. Also, that rhymed better than the limerick. So, thank you, Andy. That was cool.
Yeah, I like riddles. If anyone wants to send in any general riddles.
Yeah, yeah. We're both riddle fans.
I'm a fan of riddles.
That brings us to...
I was reading something at the same time saying it.
That brings us to the end of the non-spoiler section of this podcast. Thank you very much for listening, first-timers, of which there are some. So thank you for emailing in as well. If we didn't read them out, I read them all because I'm the only one with access to the emails. Next week we'll be doing, at the very least, episode 8 of season 2, possibly 8 and 9.
I think it's likely just 8.
Yeah, okay.
Stage.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So, watch that episode. And thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. And now it's time for my favorite section of the show.
The ending. a brief sealed section.
Yes, so we honestly didn't have much to talk about in terms of plot-related sealed stuff.
The only real things I noticed were I like this original mountain less.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
he just is not an imposing presence in the way that the second mountain is.
And, yeah, the more he speaks, the less imposing he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than that, kind of nothing.
Yeah. I feel like Roose Bolton kind of hanging around and pointedly looking at Rob and Talisa is him formulating a plan potentially at this point to
or
betray
at least
them.
Disapproving.
Yes.
And being like, I'm not sure if I agree that Rob is our guy.
I don't think he would morally have a problem. Mm-hmm. I think he's filing it away to go like, this could be used for blackmail at some point.
Sure. I think it just not like morally has a problem, just like, oh, this guy's a kid.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if I trust him.
Right. Maybe
he's definitely already been scheming with the Ramsey stuff, sending him in.
Yes. True.
Already bringing him up.
Yeah.
And
maybe he's going, oh, here's another weakness I can exploit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's kind of just the wheels are all in motion here.
Yeah. We obviously know that the burnt bodies are not Bran and Rickon.
No.
But again, that gets revealed, what, next episode?
Yeah, and then dealt with pretty quickly, I think. Yeah. I'd sort of forgotten about Theon's whole plotline here.
Yes.
And it's really more of an excuse to get Ramsay in.
Yeah, sure.
Than anything.
Sure, which we have no idea of at this point, but no. Yeah.
Because I remember being very confused by Ramsay at first.
Okay. I think I followed this stuff the first time around, but I just found it unpleasant.
I never noticed Roose.
Yeah, okay.
Really, until he shows up later.
Right, right, right. So, I think I was for some reason tuned in. I just hate this plot line. Like, it's so, gross. But
yeah.
Like, yeah.
Well, it gets resolved at some point. And so does this podcast right now, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to have to run off soon.
Yeah, there's a few questions, quite long questions for the spoiler section, but we'll as they are spoiler section ones, yeah. We can do them anytime.
I think we'll because we're just doing 8 next week.
Yeah.
We'll just do them then.
Yeah, yeah. But yes, thank you for emailing in. We will definitely address everyone's questions, of which there are heaps, and it's really nice that people are writing in.
Yeah, and for sure send in more if you like.
Yeah.
I encourage you to. But
yes.
Yeah, just right now. We're on a little bit of limited time this week, but that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to have to be okay, all right, you motherfuckers?
You pay nothing for this.
Nothing. And if you are, somebody's ripping you off.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so thank you to spoilers. We will see you next week for episode 8 and some more spoilery stuff and some questions. Bye.
Bye.